Amen. And as you're being seated, we've got a special tonight. Brother Fred and Gary going to sing tonight. Amen. So we look forward to that blessing. Amen. And two more people. Amen. Okay.
People who will say they're Christians and they live like Christians on the Sabbath day. But come Monday morning till the coming Sunday, we'll fight their neighbor all along the way.
If you don't love God,
if you don't love your neighbor,
if you gossip about him,
if you never mercy, if he gets into trouble and you try to help him,
then you don't love your neighbor
and you don't love God. The Holy Bible in the book of Matthew, read the 18th chapter in the 21st verse. Jesus plainly tells us that we must have mercy. There's a special warning in the 35th verse.
If you don't love God,
if you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him,
then you don't love your neighbor
and you don't love God. To love him. If you want salvation and a home on high, if you say you love him while you hate your neighbor, you don't have Jesus, you just told a lie.
If you don't love God,
if you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, gets into trouble and you don't try to help him,
then you don't love your neighbor
and you don't love God.
Then you don't love your neighbor
and you don't love God. Get
Mariah to singing about y'all, amen. You're talking about your neighbor. Amen. Thank you, Fred and his group. I appreciate that, Fred and Mariah and Sister Sabala and Brother Gary, amen. That's a good message in that song there, praise the Lord. All right, well, we're going to finish what we started this morning, and I'm going to get my mic. So we're going to go to Acts chapter number 1. So take your Bibles, and we talked about this morning why we have a need the missions program, which was pretty much review for the majority of us. And then tonight we're going to talk about why we finance the missions program. And then coming next week, we're going to talk about how we actually finance that. And we're going to cover chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians next Sunday. We won't cover it all next Sunday, but we'll start covering that. And before the missions conference is over, we will have that all taken care of. Amen. So take your Bibles, turn them to Acts chapter number 1. Once you find your place, go ahead and stand with me. And let me go grab my mic before I get into trouble. Aiden, Pastor White gave you a good illustration of why we have and need missions. The Lord said to go ye therefore and teach all nations, amen, and the area up there in Phoenix will be part of all nations, and we've got missionaries there, amen. Got the Scots down in Mexico, and by God's grace, we're going to have three more missionaries at the conclusion of this missions conference starting next year. By the way, we will have a handout for you next week. to take on three more missionaries to fund the two missionaries that we just took on is going to take a little over $83,000 for the year. We've already given $71,000 up to date. And so by the conclusion of that, we'll have reached close to that $89,000. We would need $83,000 for next year just to do our missions endeavors. So begin praying now, asking God, what part can you do in regards to missions? And by the way, we've already established this morning. Everybody can do something. The matter is, how much will you do? And if God got your heart, or if God has your heart, let me get grammatically correct. If God has your heart, then the rest of your money is in his hands. Amen. And so be in prayer about what God wants you to do, and that will be a blessing. Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 8, and we'll cover several other verses there. But let's read that. Everybody, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, say amen.
Amen.
How many can actually quote that from memory? Say amen. Amen. All right. Good. So if you can quote that from memory, do so. If not, the rest of us will read that. Here we go, starting in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Father, bless now in the next several moments that we have together. I pray that as we look at this area, Lord, about missions, why we finance it, Lord, we already understand from this morning why we need it and why we have it, Lord, because you commanded it. Now, Lord, we're going to see how we finance that or why we finance that, and then next week how we finance that. So I pray you would give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we look at the scriptures. You begin pricking our hearts now as to what our involvement should be and can be over the next year. And thank you so much for loving us. Now meet the need that we have tonight by your word. Thank you for the testimonies that we heard from the ladies that have gone up this week. And we look forward to a blessing from your word tonight. Speak to our hearts now in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I'm going to start the same way we did this morning, and to tell you what this is going to involve, first of all. Now, we already know that we should be involved in missions. But let me read to you what I read to you this morning. It's going to take four things. Missions, giving, number one, is going to be a spiritual commitment. You're going to spiritually determine the grace of God necessary. Am I on? Did I cut myself? Now I did. Amen. Okay. Thought I got louder there. You will have to determine what amount of the grace of God he's going to give you to continue to give by grace. Because that's why we're looking at 2 Corinthians 8, chapters 8 and 9 next week. How we give is going to be by grace. You're going to count on the grace of God or God's ability, God's strength to do what you can't do. And so missions giving is going to be, first of all, a spiritual commitment. Number two, missions giving is going to be a physical commitment. There may be some things that you may have to do without, some things you may have to cut back on to give as God has laid it on your heart. Now, you may not have to. You may give out of your abundance. That's totally up to you. But you may not be able to give out of your abundance, or you may have some things go wrong in the 2016 that you didn't anticipate on. And so now you may have to make some sacrifices. You may have started out the year 2015 saying, I'm going to give this amount of money. And then for some unforeseen circumstances came up and you say, wow, I can't give that now. Does that change the will of God? No, it doesn't change the will of God. You just may have to be innovative on how you give now and what you're going to have to cut back on. So it's going to be a spiritual commitment, number one. Number two, a physical commitment. Then number three, missions giving is going to be a financial commitment. It's going to be obligated above your tithe and above your offerings. Tithe is just being even with God. Tithe says, I didn't rob God. I am not robbing God. He says, will a man rob God? And they said, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. So to be right with God, I should give a tithe and I should give an offering of some sort. And then the missions is above that. Why? Because it's voluntary. It's not something that you have to do. Tithes and offerings, he said, you need to do that. But now this is going to be a financial commitment above your tithes and offerings. And so I'm going to have to be obligated to put aside these funds. And so missions giving is a spiritual commitment, number one, a physical commitment, number two, a financial commitment, number three. And number four is an annual commitment. And no matter where I go, from December 1st, 2015
to November 30th, 2016, I'm committed to give through the Shining Light Baptist Church the amount that God lays upon my heart. You say, well, what if I go to Timbuktu? Amen. I've been sent it by UPS. Amen. It doesn't matter. Or what if I go to China? I've been sent it by airmail or whatever. I've sent it by online banking. But if you made that promise and that commitment for the entire year, you're saying for the year, this is what I plan to give towards the missions program of Shining Light Baptist Church to support the missions program. Amen. So is that clear? And I'm going to make that statement several times before the missions conference comes here, because it never ceases to amaze me, Brother Scott. Somebody makes a commitment and then they don't factor in that it's for a year, or they don't factor in that I moved and so I'm away from the church. Oh, well, God didn't move.
No, he didn't.
Y'all looking at me? God didn't move. And I made the promise to God to give to the church. Amen. So if God didn't move, then as long as you move, you still can send that back here. By the way, we still get missions checks through the mail.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And Mrs. Dawson gets them in. Pastor White puts them in, deposits them. You say, who? I ain't telling you. None of your business. But they come through the mail. And they designate, this is for tithe, this is for offering, this is for missions, whatever. They detail that. So we still get those checks in the mail because people have made a commitment to God and not to me and not to this church, but to God. And so they give as a result of that. Amen. And when you give by the grace of God, you understand that you're not giving for the preacher. Amen. Because the preacher is bound to preach a bad message. He's bound to step on your toes. He's bound to offend you. He's bound not to shake your hand or something. And you're going to get mad at him. And so you're not giving to him. You're giving to God. Amen. So those four principles, I want you to keep in mind that it is a spiritual commitment, a physical commitment, a financial commitment, and an annual commitment for an entire period. Amen. Well, this morning we saw the disciples over in Matthew 28, and we saw their place where they were appointed to go, their position. They worshiped, some doubted. And we talked about how you may start out worshiping God and then doubting at the same time. God, could you really give this much through me? By the way, God will give through you anything that he lays on your heart.
Yes, sir, he will, Pastor. He does.
Amen. He does. Now, if my God can bring water out of a rock, I'm sure he can get some money out of your pocket. Can I get an amen? If he can make a donkey talk, then he can get some money out of your pocket. Amen. Hey, come on now. Work with me. Hey, if he can part the Red Sea, he can part your pocketbook and get a dollar out of there. Amen. And so he's God, and so he can do that. So don't look at it and say, well, you want me to give this much? God, how are you going to get that? Trust me. He'll get it if he wants it. Amen. You just have to promise it to him, and he'll give it to you and give it through you. Amen. So we looked at their place, their position, their power, and their power was the power of God that was given unto him. And their program was to mobilize, evangelize, baptize, and proselytize. We saw that this morning. Tonight we're going to see their purpose in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Their purpose, and their purpose was to be a witness. And I'm sure that you would agree with me that that purpose is clearly laid out here in Scripture in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And for most of us, this is going to be review. And I trust it will be very, very easy to get through this material. Let's go to verse number 1. Notice what's going on here. Verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. We find Luke here is the author writing this material that we cherish to a guy by the name of Theophilus. And Luke is the writer of the Gospel of Luke. He also wrote this book as well. And he's saying, Theophilus, I'm going to tell you all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Notice this, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And so we see he gave some preaching to them. He gave them some commandments. And he had given the 12 these commandments. And he's talking about this, Theophilus. Luke is talking to Theophilus about this. But then notice verse number 3, the proof here. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. In other words, he made sure that they understood this was the Jesus, the one and only Jesus. This wasn't some charlatan. This wasn't some phony. This wasn't some fake. This wasn't some hologram. This wasn't something that they ate bad the night before. This was really Jesus Christ. And he was the God whom they saw before. He was no different than when he was. He's just resurrected now forevermore to have eternal scars in his arms and his feet to show them who he was. And he says, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he has some preaching there in verse 2, some proof there in verse number 3, then a promise in verses 4 and 5. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He said, you know what? There's a promise. John baptized, yes, but the baptism that John had is going to be different. By the way, John the Baptist said, there's coming someone after me, mightier than I, who's going to baptize you with fire. And what sat on their heads on the day of Pentecost? They said it looked as if coals of fire. Amen. Now, you say, preacher, there was no fire on my head. I hope not, because you would surely burn up.
Amen.
That was one time deal that he gave to them. But you don't find anywhere else where fire sat on someone's head for the Holy Ghost's presence. And so he comes down here in verse number 6. He says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They knew that the resurrection had to be completed. They knew the death, the burial, and resurrection, because he had talked about that in John. So they knew that it happened. They knew once he resurrected, he was going to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And so they understood that. They were looking for that kingdom. And he gave them this: wait. Don't we hate waiting?
Yes, sir, we do, Pastor.
There's only one thing that we don't hate waiting for, and that's our birthday, because that means we got older.
Amen.
Any other thing, we can wait for that. Amen. But, you know, if I tell my kids we're going to go do something, oh, man, when, Dad? Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah.
When? We'll get there. You know, they like to go to QT after service sometimes.
Yeah.
When? Joshua bought me some Skittles. Can I open my Skittles? No. When? We hate waiting.
Yes, sir.
They say, Lord, when are you going to do this kingdom business? We want that. By the way, they were looking for Israel to be the powerhouse that it used to be back in the days of King David. They were looking for that. They were looking for the days of Solomon, when Solomon was right with God. And so they asked the question. And he said unto them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You know what Jesus said politely? None of your business. None of your business. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Then he comes back here and says this, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so in verse 2, he talked about the preaching, the commandments that he gave them. Then verse number 3, the proof that he gave them, the promise in verses 4 and 5. But then the power that he was going to have in verse number 6 and 7. Then he talks about the purpose of the power that he's going to give them in verse number 8. And so tonight we're going to finish up this area, why we finance a missions program. We already saw this morning that we need to go everywhere. We already know that. Now, Acts is going to further detail to us where it is that we're supposed to go when it comes to the all nations. We looked at this morning, the word missions is not in the Bible. You look and you won't find it. But neither will you find the Trinity in the Bible. Neither will you find the word rapture in the Bible. Yet both principles and concepts are there. Amen. And so you won't find missions in the Bible. But the definition this morning we said was the act or instance of sending someone for a purpose. Biblically speaking, it's a ministry commissioned by a religious organization to spread or reproduce its faith. Or carry out humanitarian work. And so a missionary then, like the Scots, would be a person undertaking that mission to get the gospel out to the Mexicans in Mexico.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
But guess what? That didn't stop our brother Scott. He didn't come up to Tucson and say, well, I'm not in Mexico, so I'm not really doing any missions work. You know what he did? He came out yesterday on door knocking. And say, you know what? I may not be in Mexico, but you know what? What I would do if I was in Mexico? Go knocking on doors.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm not in Mexico. I'm in Tucson. But guess what? Let me go and knock on doors.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Hey, that's good. That's what I should do. Why?
Yes,
how does the song go? Be a missionary every what?
Day.
Tell the world that Jesus is the what?
Way.
Now, if it's every day that I'm going to be a missionary, then guess what? I don't have to wait till I get back to Mexico. There's people in Walmart, there's people in Sears, there's people in JCPenney's, there's people at your job, there's people at the Jack in the Box, amen, or a Circle K. And so the mission is to get the gospel out. The missionary then is the person that takes the gospel themselves. And so why do we finance the missions program? Amen. Well, let's do the same thing that we did last year. I'll give you a carnal example. How many of y'all had those yearly tax statements that come to you saying that you've got to pay taxes? And normally it's got to be paid by November 1st. How many of you ever looked on the back to see what it is that you're paying for? I did. I wanted to see what I was paying for and what I'm using. You're paying for your library. You're paying for your fire department. You're paying for the ambulance and all those other things. I wrote a list down here. We're paying for fire department, libraries, police. We're also paying for border patrol federally. We're also paying for military. We're also paying Congress's salary. Boo, amen. You're paying Congress's salary, who always manages to give themselves a raise in pay. You're paying for public schools who teach your children that they came from a monkey. You heard the song on the TV? I'm no kin to the monkey. No, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me. Hey, I ain't no kin to no monkey. You say, preach, you look like one. That's another story. Amen. I was talking to Antonique this morning. She was telling me she's got to take anthropology in college, and they're studying how closely we're related to the monkey. I said, that's real encouraging.
Oh, man.
That's real. You're studying how closely related we are to a monkey. So now I'm being downgraded to animal status.
Oh, man.
So I'm just really an animal, really, you know, if that's how you want to look at it. But my Bible tells me I wasn't creating the image of a monkey, but I was creating the image of God.
Amen.
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 But I got to go to school and learn that I'm closely related to the monkey. He's most closely related to me. No, I'm more closely related to God because he made me in his image. Amen. And so you can tell all about the monkeys. They can hang in the trees and swing and all these other things, but they don't come from us, and neither do we come from them. And so we pay for the Congress's salary, the public schools, welfare. By the way, welfare, you pay for that. Amen. You say, I'm not paying for that. Yes, you are.
Yes, sir, you is.
Yes, you are. Why do you think people are such a stink over this Planned Parenthood? Amen. Because that includes abortion. Amen. And so if Congress has their way, they will pass that. So your money that you're giving to the government will have to pay for condoms and birth control and things like that. And I don't think you support those things. But guess what? They are giving those things out in school, in the public schools. They're teaching that we come from a monkey. And so the carnal example is we being a citizen pay all of those people for all of those facilities. Why? Because the government says they're doing us a service by providing those things. Do you have any choice in the matter? No, you don't. They take it out before you even get it. And try not to pay it. They'll put you in jail. Ask Ken Hovind. They'll put you in jail real quick. They don't play with that. So being a citizen, we pay, and that's a carnal example. So being a saved person or being a Christian, being a saint of God, we should be willing to give, even though I don't have to give. Can I get an amen? Now, I give all these things to Uncle Sam. He takes it from me. God is saying, look, I want you to support missions all around the globe, all around the world, and I'm going to ask you to give. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to ask you to give it. And so God uses the salary of the saved saint to send support for souls around the world for eternal rewards with dividends. Amen. God not only rewards us, but he gives us some dividends. In other words, ask you for $10. And you say, well, that is going to cost you interest. Okay. And so I take G2's money. He says it's going to cost you 100% interest. So I got to give him back all of that money and then plus the same amount again. Now, he got rich. Got rich off me real quick.
Amen.
What God is saying is, if you give me your money, I'll give you some real good return on it. You let me use your money, and not only will you be blessed down here on this earth, but guess what? In the life to come, there'll be multitudes that you'll see that got saved because you gave me your money and let me invest it in souls around the world. I multiplied that. Not only did I bless you physically down here, I blessed you up there by seeing souls saved.
Amen.
By the way, you got saved because somebody invested in missions.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Pastor Wyden and I especially know how that is because we got saved overseas. The Lepars got saved overseas. Rose got saved overseas.
Amen.
So we especially know how that is because if there was no missionary overseas, then I may not have gotten saved.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
But because there was a missionary over there, I got saved. And how do you think he got there? Somebody had to pay for him to get there.
That's right, Pastor Dawson. That's right.
He said, I believe God's called me to Belgium to plant a church, and then somebody had to give him money to get there.
Yep.
And as a result, I got saved.
Amen.
The Scott said, I surrender to go to Mexico. Hey, Brother Scott could have retired and been living high on the hog, you know, kind of, you know, kicking back with his head. You know, he retired. But he took his retirement and used it to go to Mexico.
Amen.
He said, look, I don't want to waste time going on deputation trying to get stingy churches to give money.
Amen.
Now, he didn't say that. I said that. Because you go into some churches, and man, they don't want to give you even a dirty look.
No, they don't, Pastor. No,
they don't want to give you a thing. No. They're like, look, you ain't getting nothing here, Junior. You can preach to you blue in the face. I wish I would give you a nickel. And they are not going to invest in souls. He took his retirement and said, oh, look, you know, when I found that out, I said, we're taking him home. Anybody that's going to give up their retirement to go to the missions field, I said, we're taking that kind of person on.
Amen.
Why? That's a sacrifice.
Amen.
That's his nest egg that him and Carol could have had saved up over there, you know, on the Florida beach, Five Keys. Or was that Florida Keys? Could have been out on the Florida Keys, kick back.
Yeah.
Fishing.
Uh-huh.
But he said, no, I'm going to take that. I'm going to the missions field for souls.
Amen. That is good.
Yeah, instead of fishing on the Keys, amen, he's fishing down in Mexico. Amen.
Yes.
And so as a result, we got missions. So carnally speaking, the government is going to take your money and do some services with it. God wants to take your money and he wants to do some spiritual services with it. And being saved, we should want to get involved in Christ's last command, which should be our first concern. And so we're commanded to go to all nations, as according to Matthew chapter 28. And we're supposed to go to every creature, according to Mark 16, with the gospel. And we can't go everywhere at once. And so we have to make sure this is going to be financed. And so why do we finance the missions program? What if you had to go to each agency? I gave that before. And what if you had to go pay the fire department on Monday, pay the police department on Tuesday? Go and pay Congress on Thursday.
Oh, man.
You had to go over and pay the library on Wednesday.
Oh, man.
So you wouldn't be late for church.
Oh, man.
And then you had to go over and pay all the, you know, the welfare government. So you had to go over there and pay for WIC. And you had to pay for the public school. And you had to go over there. Wouldn't you go crazy and go into all those agencies and having to pay? But Uncle Sam makes it easy. He says, you know what? I'll take it into my federal depository.
Yep.
And I'll make sure it all gets paid. Currently speaking, that's what they do. You pay Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam then funds all the programs we have out there. Now, let's turn that spiritual. Spiritually speaking, God says, you give your money through the local church, and I'll send it out to all the missionaries out on the field. The same way you gave it to Uncle Sam. No, you didn't even give it to Uncle Sam. He took it. Same way. Now you're thinking, Uncle Sam's a robber. If you're a citizen, amen, count yourself robbed. Amen. Uncle Sam took it and went over and paid all the agencies. God says, just bring it to me, put it in the church house, and guess what? I'll distribute it all around the world globally.
Yes, sir, he will.
Where you can't go. Now, you can't beat God. You can't beat God. So why do we finance this missions program? The local church then becomes the distribution center for financing our missions program, going where we cannot go with the gospel, because we cannot go everywhere. It'd be good if we could go to Mexico, and then on Tuesday we could go over to Ghana, and then on Thursday we can go to China, and then on Friday we can go to each one of our missionaries. It'd be good if we can go over there and pay them, but guess what? We've got over 50 missions agencies that we pay. And if you did one a day, that's going to take you more than a month. It's going to take you almost 2 months.
Yes, sir.
And then guess what? By the time you get around to going to the number one, somebody's going to be behind in their pay.
Yes, sir, they will be.
Amen? How many of y'all would like to be behind in your pay? Your boss don't pay you.
Oh, boy.
You're about, you know, yeah, let's see, 30 days in a month. Let's say 31 days. And it takes you 50 days. So 20 days. You got your pay the next month, 20 days late.
Whoa.
How many of y'all would stay at that job?
Oh, boy.
Jeff raising his hand. You wouldn't stay at that job.
You
say, look, this is not working, amen. And you're right, it doesn't work. But what does work? The local church getting the money in, putting it in the bank, and sending it out, amen. I'm so glad we got computers now. They've got this thing.
Amen.
Pastor White used to have to sign every check.
He did.
I mean, he'd get writer's cramp from signing every check.
Ouch.
I mean, now you got it automated. You can go into the computer and push some buttons, amen, and that stuff starts kicking out, amen.
Amazing.
Pastor. It's good with technology. That's, technology is good for something.
Yes, sir, Pastor, it is.
It is good for something.
It is.
And so that's what we find here. And so notice this. We want to finance others to go as we stay behind because we can't all go. And let's review where we ought to go. First of all, we're to go at home. Notice he says down there, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is a place we're supposed to go, and that's at home. And that would be those that we see day to day, at whether it's at our jobs, at schools, at the stores, at the community, at activities. You know, y'all know I was praying for my neighbor Xavier, and I saw a moving truck come up, and so I thought they were moving stuff in. I think that rascal got out on me and is not there. His lights have not been on in a couple of weeks, and I thought, if he got away from me, and I don't even have his phone number, and we had a situation happen where, you know, his dogs got out, and I guess somebody turned him in, and I don't know what happened with all that. But next thing I know, the cops were at my door saying, hey, look, do you have your neighbor's phone number? And I thought, no, I don't have it. And so I don't know if that caused him to go away, but we're not convinced that he's gone yet. But I wanted to win him to Christ. Why? That's part of my Jerusalem. I've got a neighbor across the way, and I'm trying to win them to Christ, amen. I've befriended them a little bit, talked with them, helped them out, amen. Got a neighbor over here that I want to get. And I got a neighbor over here. I got people in my Jerusalem. I'm sure you got them in your Jerusalem as well, amen. The goal is we're supposed to go and start at home, and that home is Jerusalem. And that would include our door knocking, our visitation here at the church. And going at home needs financing by having missionaries regularly to expose us to areas and encourage us of our responsibility to reach those people that are close to us. Missionaries normally come in and give you their burden and their heart about where they're at. But they also do this. They tell you, hey, look, there are people where you're at, too. And so missions dollars are needed to bring missionaries in here to encourage us to reach our Jerusalem, because sometimes we need that encouragement and that stirring up. And we should be constantly looking to share the gospel in our Jerusalem when we get the opportunity. By the way, we just had a leaders and teachers meeting, and I instructed them. They have a bigger responsibility because through their teaching, they're teaching us that we should be going. And guess what? They cannot teach you to go if they don't go themselves. That's called what? Hypocrite. So how dare you stand in front of a class and say you should be a soul winner, you should be reaching souls, and you as a teacher don't do it. And so leaders and teachers have a bigger responsibility to always be out there where people can see them. How would it be if I never came to soul winning as a pastor of this church? And somebody say, Pastor, do you go soul winning? None of your business. Like Jesus said, he said, it's not for you to know. Would that be good? But did Jesus lead by example by being out there in front of his disciples all the time? He always did. Even down to, I must needs go to Samaria. And so Jesus always was out leading the front, charging the blazing the trail, saying, look, let's go, disciples, come on, we need to go over here. Hey, we need to go over here, we need to go over here. Oh, well, he's a leper, hey, that's all right. He's blind, that's all right. Hey, don't bother the master. They said, no, bring him over here, amen, let me touch his eyes. Amen. He was always leading the trail, and so leaders and teachers have a bigger responsibility than anybody else. Now, should everybody be going soul winning? Everybody should. But now, leaders and teachers have a bigger responsibility because we're telling others to be a follower of me. Amen. Because I am also of who? Christ. Amen. And so missions conferences exhort us to go further in our giving. It also keeps people, keeps before us the heartbeat of God, which is the mission of seeing people saved. Amen. And that requires money. 1 Timothy 2:4 says this. God, who will have all men to be saved and come into knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. So what is he asking us to do? Give.
Give.
Give. So number two, we're to go at home, Jerusalem. Number two, we're to go abroad. He says, both in Jerusalem and all Judea. And we're obedient here by financing people like Ray McCormick up in Casa Grande, Alfred King in Oro Valley, Ron Manuel up in Phoenix that Pastor White had a chance of being with. They're in our Judea. They're still close to us, and that requires financing. Pastor White, you had to spend gas to get up there, didn't you? That costs. Guess what? There's people in Phoenix too that need to be reached. Now, how can you reach people in Phoenix? You can't. But didn't Jesus say you're going to be a witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea? Now, how can I be in two places at the same time? Supposed to be in both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. How are you going to do it, preacher? Have a missionary up there that can go and do the job for you. Our brother Ray McCormick's up in Casa Grande. Ron Manuel's up there in Phoenix and that area there. Our brother Alfred King is over on the other side of Tucson. What are they doing? They're helping us with our Judea, These are areas close to us. And by the way, it takes finances. So why are we going to finance the missions program? Because God told us to go not just at home, Jerusalem, but all Judea. And that's abroad. Amen. But then we'll go to the places that are at risk here. Samaria. He says both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and in where? Samaria.
Samaria.
Samaria is a place people don't like to go. Talked about that this morning. Amen. How many of you, and if I asked this question, I'm sure you would think of some type of person you would really rather not give the gospel to. Whether it's a mother-in-law or father-in-law, a sibling, a brother, a cousin, an aunt, a friend, a foe, a mass murderer. There are some people that we would just think about, man, I don't want to give the gospel to them. I've actually heard people say this. Christian folk. I don't want that person in heaven with me. I've heard Christian people say that. I don't want that person in heaven with me. I was like, well, you don't know what kind of heaven you're going to then.
Amen, Pastor.
Because there will be people like that and worse than that.
Yep.
Hey, Paul is going to be there. Didn't Paul kill Christians?
Yes, he did.
David's going to be there. Didn't David commit adultery and murder?
Yes.
Hey, Moses is going to be there. Didn't Moses commit murder?
Yep.
Okay, they got a tattoo. You don't want them there? Okay, they got a nose ring. You don't want them there? Oh, they've got 10 earrings here and 5 here, and they got a piercing on their tongue. They got a piercing here in their eyebrow. They got one in their belly and their britches hanging down. Well, I don't want them in my heaven. For God so loved the world. But I can tell you this, there are churches that will refuse those people if they come to their church. They will make them feel so unwelcome that they don't want to come back. They will snub them and snob them and snoot them so bad that they will say, man, why did I even come to this place? I'm so glad to hear the testimony of the young gal that came this morning. Everybody invited me and made me feel warm. Now, am I saying we're the best place in Tucson? Well, yes, but everybody just doesn't know that. Amen. Are we the worst sinners in Tucson? Well, we could be. Amen. But I'm saying we have a God that loves us, and we love God, and we want to show that to everybody else. Samaritans need to be saved too. Hey, there was once upon a time the Mormons believed that black people didn't have a soul. They couldn't be saved.
Wow.
So why even give them the gospel? They don't have a soul. Wow. Now, of course, they've changed doctrine since then for fear of a lawsuit, I'm sure.
Amen.
And other things. But if we have that kind of mentality, we can't reach Samaria. We can't. I don't know about you, but I want a church where everybody looks a little different.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Hey, what do you think heaven's going to look like? Everybody in heaven is not going to be dark skinned like me with bald head. I got my cousin, Rodney Dawson, he sent me a text of him. He got his head all shaved. Like me. Now, I had mine shaved back when I was 18. Now, you know, we fast forward. How many years does that fast forward me? 30, 35 years. And I've been bald. And he doesn't have a head for baldness. And I looked at that and I thought, not everybody looks good with a bald head. Some folks have a football-shaped head, so you look like a cone up at the top. Amen. So, some folks have a lemon head, so like that big guy on lemon heads. You know? Some folks have an onion head. So not everybody can be bald. So if everybody's going to be bald in heaven, you might not want to go. Amen. But I'm glad everybody's looking different. And we can come into church and everybody looks different. And yes, we may have our quirks and our hang-ups, and we're not all the same, but some of us came from Samaria. I know I had some Samaritan in me. Say, preacher, you did. I'm not talking about my blood. I'm talking about my lifestyle.
Amen.
Where some people didn't want to talk to me. No, I wasn't a mean person. At least I didn't think I was. I didn't think I was a bad person. At least I didn't think I was. Was I mean? If you crossed me, I was. Would I fight you? No, I would just hit you with something else.
Amen.
And so I had some Samaritan in me. I had a police record. I wasn't the best kid in school. I shot things at my teacher. I hit a teacher in the head with an orange peel one time and blamed it on my friend. And he got in trouble. Now, you say, how'd you blame it on him? When the teacher turned around, I had the face of an angel. And he laughed. So who you think she got by the ear? She took him. Who you think bailed him out? It wasn't me. I said, you had no business laughing. I whopped her in the head, and she turned around, and I just kind of said, and he's cracked up, and she pulled him by the ear. Now, a Christian would have went in and said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I hit you in the head with that orange pill. He is innocent. I wasn't no Christian back then. Yeah. So I had some Samaritan in me. I'm sure you had some Samaritan in you, too. And so he said, hey, look, you go at home, Jerusalem, abroad, Judea. But then to those that are at risk, Samaritans. Samaritans were despised by the Jews. It was an area to be avoided if possible. In John chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. And we need financing to reach those nobody else seems thrilled to reach. There is a ministry that only certain people can do. I was at the Lancaster a few years ago, and I had one of my teachers, and he did the sign language, and he worked with those. There was another one who worked with the special needs. Remember that, Pastor White? They had all the special needs come across there, and they had their teacher there. I mean, a lot. And folks, I'm not a special needs teacher. I'm special needs myself, amen. So I cannot teach anybody else about special needs. And a whole class came up there, and the teacher, you got to be a special person to have special needs. That's Samaritan. Samaria needs to be reached. Deaf people need to be reached. People with physical handicaps, they've got to be reached. Somebody's got to go through Samaria and reach them. And guess what? You and I probably aren't equipped to do that, but God has somebody out there that is, that can do the job. Hey, we had our missionary over in Ghana. He's deaf, and so he's reaching the deaf in Ghana. It just so happens he happens to be a man of color. Who better to reach the Ghanaian people than someone of their same color? But now he's got a problem. You say his deafness is a problem. He's got a worse problem than that by some American standards. He's got an interracial marriage. His wife is white and he's black. And so he becomes at risk himself because some people don't want to support him because he's black and she's white, Brother Scott. In our fundamental circles, we have people like that. How dare you marry that colored person? I can't believe you married outside of your race. Well, God just said they need to be saved. And the Jews, they had some restrictions on them, but the New Testament, you don't find any restrictions on them. He said they just make sure they're saved. Now, you should have more standards than just making sure they're saved. There should be higher standards. But race was not one of the criteria that is there. But you have some people that these missionaries, there are special ministries there, and it requires special ministers like Barack Hall, and he is deaf, and he's reaching deaf people, the handicapped, special needs, prison ministries, truck ministries, orphans. Brother Scott is trying to get an orphanage down there. Amen. These are special needs or Samaritans. Nobody wants to work with them. Do you want to work with orphans? Leave your cush job that you have right now? Go down to Mexico and work in Brother Scott's orphanage? I don't see any volunteers. Well, I would have to give up what I do here to go there. That's my point. And so we need financing because somebody's got to reach Samaria. Somebody's got to reach the orphans. Somebody's got to reach the truckers. Somebody's got to reach the handicapped. Somebody's got to reach the homeless. Somebody's got to reach the deaf. Somebody's got to reach the blind. I was picking with Antonique this morning. And she's doing her sign language class. She's on her year number two. She's going to year number three next year. And I said, man, we can get you and Fred. Y'all can start a deaf ministry here. And she just kind of looked with that big-eyed look like, very funny, preacher, very funny. I said, no, I said, somebody may come through and you've got to sign. I said, you can sign better than I can sign. I got problems signing my name. You know, come on, you know, give me a piece of paper. That's a chore for me. You got some things under your belt already. At least you can spell God. I can't spell anything with these. Fred, what does this mean? See, I confuse him. They say, what is he trying to say? I'm confused. And I know he's saying something. Hey, folks, somebody's got to reach Samaria, and it takes financing. So Jerusalem's got to be reached at home. Abroad's got to be reached, Judea. But then Samaritans have to be reached. those that are at risk. Baraka Hall is reaching the deaf in Ghana. DeVar Williams is going over to Chile. He's got an interracial marriage. Again, I mentioned that before. There's some people that don't want to touch him because of that. And then Leland Johnson's going down to Brazil. Willie Bird's going to North Carolina. And God knows they need more churches in North Carolina. Amen. And Brother Bird has the unique ability, being military, he knows how interracial churches work. And going to North Carolina is going to be a hard pill to swallow to try to get blacks and whites to go to church.
Amen.
How many of you have been in North Carolina? How many of you ever seen an independent fundamental Baptist church with blacks and whites in it in North Carolina? You ain't seen many. You got Brother Frank Herndon is one. Brother C. Gamble. Brother Gamble. Coba guys. Why? You go to North Carolina, they don't play that. They still are stuck in the old mindset, and they teach their children the old mindset. I'm so glad that my children don't know the old mindset.
Amen.
I'm glad they don't know that. Now, they're going to learn about it in school sooner or later. But I don't want them to learn about it because when they come to church, they look around and they say, where are people like me? They don't have to worry about that. Why? Because there are people like them and like you and like everybody else. But Brother Bird's going to go to North Carolina. He's going to try to pastor a church like that. Brother Tony Griffin's going to Nevada. These are all men we're going to try to support. And they're going to try to do the same thing, try to reach everybody. Don't know who's going to come, but it's not going to be because I shun somebody because they look like a Samaritan.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't ever want to get to the place where somebody comes here and they say, you know what, somebody sent me away because of how I looked. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody comes and they got no clothes on, then we send them back home. But how they look physically, we're not going to send them back home. They need Jesus too. Jesus died for them too. By the way, last time I checked, Jesus got the maniac of Gadara who didn't have any clothes on. He was running around naked in the tombs. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Hey, that's what the gospel does, and that's why the gospel needs to go out. That's why we finance it at home and abroad and at-risk people. Why? The gospel can change somebody's life. It changed mine.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
It changed mine.
The
last place you would catch me on a Sunday is at church, back in the days. I'd be sitting down watching football, doing some things that I ought not be doing, and now I can't get up to go to work on Monday. But I managed to get up, smelling like a distillery, and people get inebriated just being close to me. But you know what? The gospel changed my life. And Samaritans need that gospel. People in Judea need that gospel. People in Jerusalem need that gospel. These missionaries that are going out have risk factors. They're interracial couples. They're minority people. And they're going to Samaritans. And they're going to Jerusalem. They're going to Judea-type areas. And you and I can be a blessing by helping them get on the field financially. They need our support.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, we're commanded to support the gospel, because he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, doing that at the same time, and in all Judea at the same time, and in Samaria at the same time. We got to face the fact that there is someone for everyone to reach. By the way, when I got reached, Brother Rod Branch was just the right person to reach me. When Pastor White got saved, Brother Kraft was just the right person to reach him.
Amen.
Brother Serge and Katie got saved. They had just the right person to reach them. They reached Serge through his children.
Amen.
And Serge came and got in the church, got under conviction, got mad, got fired up.
Amen.
Said,
Amen.
And it took just the right person to reach him. Amen. It takes just the right person for each of us to reach somebody. And God has that person already tagged for you to reach. And the same way he's got you to reach somebody, he's got missionaries waiting to go to countries all around. Brother Hitz just had his seventh child down in Baffin Island. Now, we can't afford not to support him. With seven kids in the Baffin Island? Seven kids? How many of y'all got five kids? Brother, how does it defeat 5 miles? Seven, counting you and your wife. He's got seven children in Baffin Island. And it's cold down there, so you got to stay inside most of the time. Can you imagine seven people staying inside, kids? It's hard enough keeping my three inside. Hey, what am I saying? There's somebody for everybody. By the way, there's some Hispanics that will not come into this church unless we speak Spanish. I had the privilege of knocking on some doors, and they didn't speak Spanish. They looked at Brother Aaron, like, Aaron, I know you speak Spanish. And Brother Aaron's like, I don't speak any Spanish, but your name is Reyes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, they look at me. They know I don't hablo anything. Like, if he don't speak it, you know I don't speak any. You know, they motioning and gesturing to me and Aaron. Aaron, like, just give him a track. They'll be all right. It's a Spanish track. I can't even tell them how to read it in Spanish. You know, here, book, read. You know, give it to him. Like, I don't speak Spanish. But guess what? There's somebody that can reach them. And so some people will not come unless they see a sign language person, or they won't come unless they see another deaf person. They won't come unless they see someone like them. And so they're missionaries to reach people like that. And then lastly, we're not just to go at home, our Jerusalem, abroad, our Judea, and then at risk, Samaria. But then we're to go to those that are away, the uttermost parts of the earth. And each one of these people requires financing. Financing to stir us up to reach Jerusalem at home. Financing to reach Judea like Alfred King and the others. Financing to reach Samaritans because not everybody wants to reach that group of people. Then finances to reach to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? That's what most of missions is when we think of it. But guess what? It all started in Jerusalem.
Yes, sir, it did.
He said, go and wait in Jerusalem. But then he says, once you get the power of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. All at once. How can I do it? Through missions. How can missionaries do it? Through finances. It takes money. And that's what this is all about. Going at home needs financing by having missionaries regularly expose us to areas and encourage us. And then going to the other areas requires it as well. We cannot bypass Jerusalem. To get to Judea, to get to Samaria, to go to the uttermost parts. We've got to start at home. And that is where God wants us to start at, right here. The place away or the uttermost parts would include unreachable places by us. How many of y'all can go down to Mexico this week, the next several weeks? None of us. Not for any length of time. Now, we can drive down there. But wait a minute. Why do we need to go when Brother Scott already speaks your language? You know what Brother Scott's doing? He's raising up men. You know what Brother Scott wants to do? He wants to take the money that we are giving to him to support his men. Imagine that. We're giving him money to support him. He's like, I'm going to give that money to support them. That's missions. That's missions. Brother Frank did the same thing. Frank said, look, I've got Brother Hitz over here, and I've got Brother Hughes over here. The money that you're giving to me, give it to them. Why? They came up in my church, and I want to help support them. So the money we gave Frank said, I'm giving it to them. That's missions. Now, you're talking to a man that's already given up his retirement.
Yes, sir.
Now he's willing to give up his mission support.
Amen.
To give it to other men. I think God will bless that.
That's good.
I think God will honor that. And I think there will be more souls getting saved. I think God will reward him immensely because of the sacrifice that he's made. Carol, you can still get down to Florida Keys. Possibly. But even if she don't, guess what? God said, no, I got more keys in heaven. You think the Florida Keys down here look good? Wait till you see what I got in glory. Amen. It's way better up there. Amen.
Oh, yes. It is, Pastor. It is.
We want to expand in the upcoming year. We've already expanded to Brazil. To Chile in the summer. And we've already gone to the deaf in Ghana in the summer. We want to still go to North Carolina with Brother Bird. We want to go to Brazil by Brother Leland Johnson and his wife. We want to go to Nevada through Brother Tony Griffin and his family. Not to mention, Stephanie Wilbur could come back and say, you know what? Hungry's calling me.
Amen.
I'm going to quit college and I'm going to deputation.
Amen.
I don't want her to have to go on deputation for 3 years just to get to Hungry.
Right.
Because people are dying. I want to say, you know what? We're going to get behind her. We're going to support her as well.
Amen.
And by the way, as a sending church, we should support her the most of any church.
Yes, sir,
Pastor. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Come on, y'all with me?
Amen.
Anybody comes out of this church, we should support them the most. We should.
Absolutely.
And if we don't, woe be it unto us. Woe be unto us. That's fruit that is going to be accounted to our account.
Yes, sir.
We should get behind her and support her. We already know she's got the burden.
Amen.
We already know Brother Brother Jeff has got the Fiji Islands commitment that he believes God laid upon his heart. We've got Davon Perkins, I mentioned to you. He's up in San Antonio right now. Carlo Lopez from Guatemala. Manuel Fernandez got saved here. All these guys feel God's called them to missions somewhere.
Amen.
And we need to get behind them.
That's right, we do, Pastor.
And support them. Yeah, you say, preacher, you willing to give up your best people? Jesus, God gave up heaven's best.
That's right,
he did. Hey, the church in Antioch, you think they could afford to give up Barnabas and Saul out of that church? Don't you think that Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says, as they were ministering, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul, Saul, and Barnabas for the ministry which I have called them to. Don't you think that Paul and Barnabas were probably some of the biggest givers there? Don't you think they're probably some of the biggest ministers there? Don't you think they were probably some of the biggest blessings there? But God normally does that because he says, you know what, I'm going to move you out so that you can do what you're doing here and do it out there. And I'm going to move somebody right up in your place so they can be raised up as well. Because they will not be raised up whilst you're there because they're looking to you. But move you out of the way and see what you do. Hey, Pastor White wasn't here this morning. Guess what? Somebody moved up. Brother Wilkerson, we ran out of water. Pastor White normally gets water for us religiously. I mean, it's very rare for us to run out. We run out maybe one or twice. And one time we did run out, I got some water that was not good. And Pastor White said, preacher, leave that to me. Amen. I'll handle that.
Amen.
Brother Sam had to go out and get water. What I'm saying? Pastor White got moved out. Somebody stepped up. Sometimes God's got to move some of the best folk out of the way so others will do it. And he does that through missions. He sends someone on the field. And he says, look, I want you to finance this one and go out there and plant a church. I'm going to take this one. And I want you to go out here and plant a church. And there'll be somebody else raising up in your stead that can do the work. That's what God often does. Hey, when I left Belgium, guess what? I didn't have a marking on Belgium. God raised somebody else up, take over my class. God raised up someone else, take over the song leading. God raised up someone else to work with the teenagers. God raised up someone else to do the men's devotions. God raised up someone else. Why? I can be replaced. But God wants to use you. He wants to use me. And he wants to use what we have. I'm going to read this next week to you. And it's length, but it's called Analyzing Our Priorities. And I'm going to read it next week, but I'm going to give you the points today. He opens up this. He says, someone once said, I just read this 2 days ago, and it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Someone once said that there are two ways in which a Christian may view his money. How much of my money shall I use for God, or how much of God's money shall I use for myself? Read that again. How much of my money shall I use for God, or how much of God's money shall I use for myself? Last time I checked, the fullness, everything is God's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and they that dwell therein.
Amen.
Last time I checked. And he gives you four things to consider. Number one, am I trusting God with my finances? Number two, am I seeking his kingdom first? Number three, am I placing treasure in his work? Number four, am I preparing to give an account? And you say, preacher, why are you reading that? Because I'm going to read it in its entirety next week because I think it's very fitting for our missions because we're talking about tonight why we finance missions, because we are to go at home, Jerusalem. We're to go abroad to all Judea. We're to go to those at risk, and we're to go to those that are away, the uttermost parts of the earth, and we're to do it all simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the conjunction. Both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts. And is a conjunction linking two thoughts together. So I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts, all the same thing. How do we do it? By financing missionaries.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
How much can you give? And ask it this way, how much is a soul worth? How much is your soul worth?
Yeah. That's good, Pastor. That's good.
If you needed the gospel, how much would you pay someone to come and give you the gospel? If you needed the gospel, what would you, what great length would you go at to get you the gospel? When you put it that way, it's pretty serious, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, this is my soul we're talking about. There's souls of other people.
Yes, sir.
In Jerusalem,
amen,
and in Judea,
amen,
and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts. There's souls of people just like yours. Some are at risk. Some are in Jerusalem. Some in Judea. Some in the uttermost parts. We have people like Brother Scott waiting to take the gospel.
Amen.
Our job is to get behind them financially,
yep,
so they can do it. But then not neglecting what we can do right here. And that's why we have a missions program That's why we finance a missions program. Next week, we'll talk about how we do that, because all of us can do something. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Just for a moment, think about what you currently give to missions. And just for a moment, think about what God might possibly have you to give next year. And just for a moment, think about how it's a spiritual commitment. It'll be a physical commitment, a financial commitment, and an annual commitment. And then ask God, what would he have you to do for missions in 2016? Father, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Well, we know that this is all about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, so that people can be saved, both men, women, boys, and girls, not just here in Jerusalem, but also in Judea, the areas close to us, Samaria, the areas no one wants to go, and then the uttermost parts, the areas that are hard for us to reach. Lord, you've devised the way by finances, by sending missionaries. Lord, help us to put back what we have received. That is the gospel, and giving someone else the opportunity. Lord, help us to be in prayer about what you want us to do as individuals and what you want us to give. And I pray that we would do that. Lord, I pray that maybe there's someone here tonight that's under the sound of my voice that has never received the gospel. They need to be saved right here. They need to fall on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, for the payment of their sin. Repent and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, Lord, I pray that no one will leave here tonight without making a decision to trust Christ as Savior. And that Christians will begin praying about what you would have us to do for missions in 2016. Maybe increase it just a little bit more to accommodate these missionaries that we're supporting now. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting our need. Thank you for what we already support. And thank you for being a God that saved us by your mercy and your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Pastor White, why don't you come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Give us any last-minute instructions. Men, don't forget, get signed up. If you're not signed up, Pastor White's going to dismiss us in a word of prayer.